So this morning, I know that we're meant to be going through Colossians, but I did what all preachers, church leaders do, and just decided that I was going to speak on something else. I'll tell you why. This week, a number of people have come to me and asked me a question. And so I thought it would be good. Sometimes as a church pastor, as a leader in the church, you want to kind of address the questions that people are actually asking. And so today, we're going to be looking at if I can get it working. Oh, you're going to get it up on the screen. We're going to be looking at the subject of the feeling. Yeah? All right? When I get that feeling. It is not Marvin Gaye when I get that feeling. That's a whole different sermon, one that I won't be preaching this morning. It isn't the Black Eyed Peas. I got that feeling. But how many of you know if I say, when you're in a church meeting, you sometimes get the feeling? Do you know what I mean by that? Some of you will know what I mean by that feeling, right? Okay, yeah. Right, and I thought that it would be good for us to try and address what it is, what is that feeling? Because I've spoken to a couple of people this week, and some of them have kind of been sort of saying, well, I get this feeling, and I don't know what this feeling is, and I don't understand the feeling, and it doesn't make any sense to me, and I find the feeling a little bit scary, and I'm not quite sure what to do with it. And then I had a conversation with someone else that said, I don't get the feeling. I don't know what the feeling is. What's these people keep talking about, the feeling? And so I thought it would be a really good thing for us this morning to talk about what it means to have that feeling. Now, a good example of what I mean, if you don't know what I'm talking about, is I've got a friend of mine who used to go to Eltham, and she was not a Christian. She didn't really have anything to do with God, but she felt like one day she should go to church. And so she walked into church, came into Eltham, and she got an overwhelming sense of this feeling, and she couldn't come in. She went out crying. She left the meeting. She was like, what has just happened there? Like, I'm not really a crier, and I've just kind of, you know. And then she came back the next week, and the same thing happened again, and the same thing happened again, until she realized that actually that was God speaking to her. And these feelings can often be quite unsettling and confusing, and you know, for some of us maybe here this morning, we used to get the feeling. And then more recently, we haven't had the feeling, and we wonder whether or not maybe that means that we're not really kind of, you know, are you guys going to get there? Like, come on. Press present in the top right hand corner. Look, present in the top right hand corner. Look, go there. Press the button there. Go on. Look, go on. Go. Press it. Yeah. Oh. No, they haven't got the feeling, clearly. So what I want to do this morning is I want to address really this whole subject of the feeling, where it comes from, what is it, all right? Because I think it's an important part of the Christian life. And so the first question I've got is, well, where does the feeling come from? Where does the feeling come from? Well, the first place the feeling can often come from is our own emotions, right? Right, feeling, the feelings we get in our life come from often two different places, one of which is our own emotions. Now, you may not be a particularly emotional person, right? I know some people are very emotional people, right? If I take, I don't know, let's pick someone who's really emotional. I don't know, who's really emotional in here? Let's pick on them. Yeah, me, I'm quite emotional. Yeah, all right. And I get lots of different feelings. I get quite stressed about things. I get quite wound up. But do you know where those feelings come from? They come from God. Because we're made in the image of God. So when God makes us in his image, we feel because God feels. If you read the Bible and you start reading through the Bible, you see so often all of the different ways that God feels things. Right? He feels up, he feels angry, he feels love, he feels joy, he feels a sense of compassion. All of these things we see God feeling. And so we can't be a Christian and not have emotion. Right? We can't be a Christian and not have emotion. Of course we're going to have emotions if we are a Christian. But there is a danger, right, with our emotions that come from us. Right? Let me tell you, I have been playing music and worship in church for years. Right? And I remember once being really rebellious. I was having a really bad moment with the Lord. This was a few years ago. It wasn't in this church. And I was feeling quite annoyed with God and church in general. And I said to God, I know that I can get people really whipped up and really emotional and really responding to the Lord, and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it all without the Holy Spirit, right? And so I knew that if I sung certain songs, right, in a certain way, at a certain time, and said certain things, I could get people to have an emotional response. Right? I could get your emotions going, right? We all know, don't we, there are songs that in our life, you know, maybe if you listen to a soundtrack and it reminds you of when you were 15, or it reminds you when you were 30, or you hear it like when we got married, we walked down the aisle to a song called Pachelbel's Canon. It's not really a song, it's more a piece of music. And every time I hear that piece of music, a little bit of emotion comes up. I think to myself, what a terrible day that was. Right, and I know that I can stir your emotions. Right, and I know there are a lot of churches that do that. They don't mean to, but they will stir your emotions. They will try and get your emotions going, because what often people think is, if I get the feeling, that must be God. But it isn't, and this is the problem. Often, some of the emotions we feel, particularly when we're in here on a Sunday morning, sometimes a lot of those emotions can just be ourselves. Right? Because what we need, and it's great that we get that feeling, right? But really, we're looking for a different kind of feeling. And so there is another source of the feeling, and that's really what we want to focus on, and that's the kind of feeling that we want. And that second source is the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit. And we often don't talk very much about the Holy Spirit, so I wanted this morning really to talk about a little bit the Holy Spirit. And some of you will think, I know all this. Well, good for you, but it's good to be encouraged, isn't it? So the first thing is that the Holy Spirit is one of three, right? You've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So God is three in one. I won't try and explain that to you, it's too complicated. If you want me to explain that to you, I'll explain it to you afterwards, okay? It's amazing that he can be three. But God the Father is the one from whom everything starts and where everything finishes. Right, but Jesus is then the Son. He was sent to accomplish the work of the Father. And then Jesus died, came to earth, lived, died. He rose again. And Jesus, is Jesus still on the earth? No. Jesus is in heaven. And as we're going to see this morning, Jesus said, it's a good thing. I think this is my right scripture. Yeah. He says, it's a good thing that I'm going. And he says in John chapter 14, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And that is the word, that's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes into us. Okay? And so the Holy Spirit's job, right, is to empower us. And as we're going to see, we're going to explore this morning the role of the Holy Spirit, because when we understand the role of the Holy Spirit, we'll understand a bit more of what that feeling is. Okay, so I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit's job is to be a helper. Anybody here cycle? Anyone ever get on a bike? Right, we cycle. Mark gets on a bike on a regular, Joel, Hannah, other people get on a bike. Let me tell you, if you want to cycle up, you know those hills you drive up, and in the car you think, oh, this is a bit difficult in a hill, or in the car, and you need to get down into second gear. You imagine trying to cycle up that, right? Some of you would have a heart attack before you got like 100 metres up the hill, right? Okay, most of us who have cycled a lot find it quite difficult, and that's probably what would happen to most of us. And the Christian life is like climbing up a hill on a bike, okay? And if you try and do it in your own strength, that's what will happen. That's the feeling that you'll get, right? But the Holy Spirit, it says, is a helper. Because when no one's got a bike here, but have you seen there's these fancy bikes now that have got like a battery pack attached to them, right? They're the kind of bikes that we all want, don't they, right? You press a little button and instead of having to cycle, it just sort of pulls you along, right? That's a little bit like the Holy Spirit, right? There's some pedaling involved in our life, but we also need, right, the power of God to come. And we can, this projector's terrible, isn't it? And it gives us the power to live. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is for. It is about giving us this power to live. So how does the Holy Spirit do that? Well, the first thing that Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit makes us aware of God. So it says here in John chapter 14, verse 8, and you quoted this a moment ago. I don't know if you realise you did this, Dion, right? I will not leave you orphans. So when Jesus went back to heaven, the disciples were panicked. They thought, hang on a second, how are we going to cope without Jesus? And he said, it's good that I go away because I'm sending a helper. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live and you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. The primary job of the Holy Spirit is to make you aware of the Father and to make you aware of the Son. All right, that is the main reason that the Holy Spirit has come, to make us aware. So when you get the feeling is making you aware that God is present in the room. God is making you aware that He is there, that He loves you, that He's interested in you. See, God is always calling us, always calling us. He's calling us to Himself. Do you know that? God never stops calling us. He's never stopped saying, Chris, I want you to come to me. Chris, I want you to be closer to me. Chris, I love you. Come. And so when you're in the moment, and maybe it's in prayer or in the Word or whatever it is, and you get that feeling, it's a sense that God is calling you to Himself. Because it's by the Holy Spirit that we start to know God, and we're going to see this. I don't know if you've ever met a celebrity. You ever met a celebrity? I've never met many celebrities. I'm a celebrity in my own right, right? So I'm not sure I need to meet any other celebrities, right? Anyone know who this guy is? Right? He's a bit of a personal hero of me. It worries me that only one person in this room knows who that is. Two, three, four, five. Okay, well done. Thank you. Good. Good. Thanks. All right. This guy is the greatest cricket player that's ever played for England, in my opinion. All right. He is our premier test bowler. He has got 600 plus wickets. He's the best fast bowler of all time. And I know that he comes from Burnley. I know that he's 39 years old. He's a year older than me. I've watched him play for years on the TV. I've heard other people interview him. But it would be a bit weird if I happened to walk up to him, all right, and say, "Ah, James, my friend. I know lots about him, but I don't know him." It would be weird if I walked up to James Anderson outside one of the cricket grounds and said, "Ah, James, do you want to go for a drink? It's been so long since I've seen you." It would be weird, right? And I know that I'm a celebrity and he should know who I am, right? But he won't. But you see, what the feeling is for is God making you aware that He wants you to know more than just stuff about Him. God isn't just interested in the fact that you can, you know, say, "Oh, well, I know God is love because it says in 1 John that God is love." The Holy Spirit's job is to give you that feeling that makes you realize God is love. And I know that. And I know that in a deep place in my life. Right? So that's the first job of the Holy Spirit, is to make you aware of God. The second job of the Holy Spirit is to help you worship God. Do you know, we're not very good at worship. Right? In our own strength, in our own spirit, in our own abilities, we would do a very poor job, to be honest, of worshiping God. And there's a famous, the famous story which we've all read, which is the woman at the well. Right, and the Jesus comes to meet this woman at the well. And I think one of the beautiful bits in this story is it says in verse 23, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in what? Spirit and in truth." So it's not just I worship in truth. If all you come and you say, "I sing songs about God every week, and I can tell you, you know, I sing about His love, we sing about His faithfulness, we sing about the fact that we don't need to be ashamed." But there's something more. There's a worship in the Spirit that God wants to lead you into, where you are worshiping Him in a different kind of way. Right? God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So when you get that feeling in a meeting, right? You know what I'm talking about? You get the feeling in a meeting sometimes. It doesn't happen all the time, right? But that is God saying to you, "I want you to respond to me in that moment." Maybe it's that moment you have to lift your hands in the air, right? Maybe it's the sense of, I remember when I was young, someone said, "I want you to put your hands in the air." And I just sat there and I thought, "I'm not putting my hands in the air," right? Okay. And I did. And eventually I was like, I took the courage to put my hands in the air. And I God moved on my life. There was another time, right, when some of you will know that I'm not massively pro-flag, right? You know, some churches get flags, right? And they run around with flags and they wave flags. Now, I'm not anti-flag, but I was never pro-flag, right? I was never a flag waver myself. I always thought that I wasn't really a, you know, and we sang a song this morning. What did we sing? You know, how's that line going, that over the mountains and the sea? Oh, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. And there were some flags, and the Lord Jesus said to me, the Holy Spirit, I got the feeling. And the feeling said, pick up a flag. I said, no, Lord, no. I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. You see, because the Lord said, worship is about you giving yourself to me. And in that moment, I picked up a flag, I waved a flag, I felt like a total wally, right? But the Lord was honoured. Because it's not about what we do, it's not about what we sing, it's about our heart. And you see, when sometimes that feeling that you get is God saying to you, you need to respond now to me in that moment. You need to maybe lift your hands there. Maybe you need to pray out loud. Right? I was talking to someone last week and they said to me, I got an overwhelming sense that I had to pray out loud. So I just did. And it blessed me. I mean, I listened to it. It blessed me. The Holy Spirit helps us worship God in spirit and in truth. We need that. So when you get that feeling, maybe, and particularly if we're in worship, how is God calling you to worship him? Thirdly, the Holy Spirit, you'll find this all in John chapter 14, a lot of this stuff, right? We're just picking out the key verses, right? The Holy Spirit's job is to teach us. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I find the Bible quite a boring book. Alright, okay? Right? If you just read the Bible without the Holy Spirit, it's a boring book. Right? But when I read the Bible now, I get the feeling. Often I get the feeling, not every time I read it, but sometimes I'm reading it and the Holy Spirit is teaching me not just what the words in the page are saying, but they're telling me, Tim, this is relevant to you today. Right? The Holy Spirit is making me realize, oh, that's what Jesus is really like. That's what God is like. If you read the Bible without the Holy Spirit, maybe you won't be bored, right? But, you know, there's a good chance you will. But you need the Holy Spirit to bring the Bible alive to you. Because the Bible reveals who God is. And what's the job of the Holy Spirit? To reveal God. It's the same with prayer. I do not find prayer easy, right? I do not. Some people, I know sometimes think, oh, I'm a church pastor. I should love to pray and spend 10 hours a day in prayer and 10 hours a day in Bible reading and 2 hours sleeping and 1 hour looking after my family, right? Right? That's hard, yeah? I find prayer difficult, right? But there's a difference, isn't there, John? About when you pray and the Holy Spirit comes into prayer. And you find, do you know what? I can sit, and I can sit sometimes for half an hour in total silence and be totally content in the presence of God. That is what the Holy Spirit does. And sometimes when I'm praying in the morning, right, or in the evening, sometimes we pray together in our church prayer meeting, I get the feeling because I'm aware that I am in a connection with God. You know, some of the best sermons I've preached have been ones that have not come from something I've read, but from something that's been revealed to me by God. So the Holy Spirit wants to teach you. Now, the last thing I want to highlight for us this morning. But the Holy Spirit is there to change us. We love to say, come as you are. And we want you to come exactly as you are. But God is not interested in leaving you as you are. God wants to change you to make you like him. You on your own do not glorify God. Sorry. Right? You might think you're God's gift. You're not. Right? God loves you as you are, but he does not want you to stay as you are. Right? And so it says here, now the Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, that's the image of God, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I want to reveal a little bit something about my character this morning to you, if I can. Right? I want to read you some excerpts from my school reports. Right? These were my school reports when I was at school, right? One or two of you remember what I was like as a child, right? This is Mr. Lee, year seven music. Timothy tries sometimes, but most of the time is satisfied with as little work as possible. This was reflected in the score of 11% in his end of year music exam. It's ironic, isn't it, that I can sing and play music, isn't it? Yes. That was the first one. Year 8 English, Miss Gerrans. She was my form tutor. She's a scary lady, Miss Gerrans, right? Timothy enjoys debating different issues in class. However, he needs to learn that just talking about a topic will not prevent the need for written work to be completed sooner or later. Yeah? What about Year 7 Maths? Timothy has not yet learned to concentrate his attention on anything yet and often spends much of the lesson focused on events outside of the classroom window. Shall I go on? There's a couple more. You're enjoying this. I thought you might enjoy this. Yeah. These are genuine, like word-for-word verbatim out of my school reports. Year 9 history, Mr. Wetherill. If Timothy spends less time falling asleep in lessons, I'm sure he would be a good historian, but his ability to stay focused in a lesson drastically needs to improve. And one more for fun, right? Year 10 French, I threw 1,000,001 paper airplanes out of a window one lesson near this guy. He was not a great teacher. French is most certainly a foreign language to Timothy, who is making no effort to reverse or alter this situation. Sadly, he spends most of the lessons distracting others with silly behaviour, constant chatter, and practical jokes. Who would believe that of me now? I didn't do very well, did I, at school, right? Those of you that know my youngest son, Aaron, will realise that this is a fair reflection of what his personality is like. I spent a lot of time in school having fun, being silly, right, being naughty, climbing on roofs, right? I suddenly realised that as I told them off this morning that I used to get in trouble at school for climbing on the school roofs. But I realised that God had to do a work in me. God had to change me. And I remember praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit when I was about in year 10. Looking at Charlie, she's the only one still at school this morning. Yeah, maybe the Lord needs to do it in you, Charlie. But God changed me. And the Holy Spirit's job is to transform our lives and to change us. Do you know, I was chatting to someone this week and I was saying often, you know, we realise that we think about the feeling as being a fuzzy feeling. But I was chatting to someone this week and they said, you know what, I used to really care about trying to climb the ladder. I used to really care, I used to get that feeling that said, I need to, you know, be good at my job, I need to be the top of the ladder, I need to be working hard. And I've realised that now, because of Jesus, I'm just content. I don't need to do that anymore. Someone else said to me, I just want to devote all of my energy to being in the church. Right? Someone else, and I was saying, I said, you know, this is the mark of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know when you're driving on the road, right, and some blessed individual cuts you up, right, at that moment, right, and you go, praise the Lord. You know that you're getting that feeling, right? Some of us have been Christians a long time, still need to, more work is needed, yeah? Or when your kids are winding you up. Because the Holy Spirit isn't just about fuzzy feelings. It's not just about nice feelings, it's about a transformed life. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. It's not just to give us a nice, warm, glowy feeling, it's to change us, to change the way we feel and see situations. But this was one of the next questions that someone asked me. They said, well, what if I don't get the feeling? What if I don't get the feeling? Well, first of all, we need to understand what we mean by the feeling, right? Yeah, for sure, some people have had on one occasion or on many occasions a sense of being overwhelmed by the presence of God. A sense of like just being warm all over or like a burning sensation in their chest or I don't know, just some people fall over and all of that kind of stuff, yeah? And it significantly impacted them. You know, We heard in the summer of a lady called Julie, who those of us at MLG, if you remember her testimony, Julie, she didn't know anything about Jesus. She kind of found the church and about, you know, got kind of started to go to church, started to believe in God. And after about 2 or 3 months, she was walking her dog up on the moors and she was just saying, God, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. And I just want to try and follow you and be a good Christian. And she was on the middle of the moors, no one else around, just her and her dog, about 6 o'clock in the morning. She was completely overwhelmed with a sense of the presence of God. And she was flooded with joy, and she said, I couldn't stop laughing, and I was crying my eyes out, and it was happy tears, and I was just blown away, and I came home, and I was just writing things down from the Bible, and I was waking up in the middle of the night, and I was praying, and it was amazing, and it was brilliant. We all want an experience like that, don't we? Yeah. I want to tell you, I had a friend called Ian, right? Some of you might remember my friend Ian, and he was a good friend of mine when I grew up, and he was a very, very clever guy. He went to Oxford, and God gave him some amazing experiences, and he wasn't really an experienced guy, right? And I remember one night at a conference, he responded after a meeting, and we must have been about 17 or 18 at a time, and he went out, it was dark, it was in a big tent, and he walked out the back of the tent, someone had prayed for him, and he walked out on his own into this tent, and he had one of those experiences. And he was, you know, and it was blew him away. And he was absolutely kind of completely changed. He said it was like an out-of-body experience. The sad thing is that Ian isn't following God anymore. He doesn't follow the Lord anymore. He turned his back on Jesus and said, I don't want to follow God anymore. And this is the key thing. It's not just about the experiences you have. Because this is the key. If your faith is based on the feelings you have, that's not a firm foundation. If that's the foundation that you're building your life on, then it's very easy to double guess your experiences or to say, I haven't felt it for a while. Maybe it wasn't true. Maybe I just felt that because I was young or I was emotionally wound up. Maybe I just, we know how fickle our feelings are, don't we? Our feelings go up and down all the time. And so if your faith is based on a feeling, let me tell you, you're based on very unstable, dodgy ground. Right? I believe in Jesus for firstly because of the facts, right? I won't bore you with it now, but let me tell you, there is absolutely irrefutable evidence that Jesus was alive, that there was more evidence of that what he said was what he said, and that the Bible is a historical, accurate document. There's far more evidence for the Bible, any of you do Alpha Course Week 1, right? There's far more evidence for the Bible than any other for Caesar or for Nero or any of those sort of Julius Caesar, all those kind of people, right? Right? There is incredibly strong arguments for the resurrection of Jesus, both logical and historical in terms of all of those things, yeah? All right, there's evidence for it. I believe it because it seems absolutely foolproof to me. In 2,000 years, science has explained an awful lot of stuff, but nobody has improved on Jesus' teaching in the last 2,000 years. Nobody's done any better than Jesus did 2,000 years ago, right? And most of our world, our justice system, our education system, our medical systems, our love for the poor and the needy, where do they come from? Jesus, right? They're all from the Bible, right? I am confident that we don't believe a load of mumbo jumbo. We're not just here this morning, kind of just sort of believing sort of some airy-fairy stuff. Our belief is based on facts. But facts are not enough. And this is the key. Facts are not enough. We have to have faith. You can have all the facts in front of you and still choose not to have faith. Right? I'm telling you, if you really want to find God, you have to take a step into the unknown. You have to kind of say, do you know what? We've all seen it. We probably haven't, right? It used to be a very famous film, Indiana Jones and the something of, what was it? The Last Crusade. And there's this brilliant picture, and there's this invisible bridge, and he has to step out. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah? And he has to step out into the invisible bridge. And only when he steps out does he realise the bridge is actually there. And that's faith, right? But my faith is based on the Bible, and it's based on facts. It's based on something solid. And out of that, after I have faith, then I get feelings. And my feelings follow my faith. If my faith is based on my feelings, I would worry that you'll run the race to the end. You know? And we have to be somebody or people that are building our life on faith. I need faith. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe even though I can't see you. I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to believe you even then. I'm going to believe you and believe that the feelings will follow at some point. There was a guy in the Alpha Course, because we're doing the Alpha Course, and so I was just reviewing some of the Alpha Course material, and Nicky Gumbel tells his story. And he said he was a lawyer, he worked it all out, he came to the conclusion that, you know, he was a barrister. He said his dad was a barrister, his granddad was a barrister, his uncle was a barrister, his son was a barrister. He knew how to argue, he knew to dissect an argument. And he said he came to the conclusion that he had to believe in Jesus. There was no other argument. He had to come to that. He said, I was the most reluctant convert ever. And the same, who's heard of a guy called C.S. Lewis? He wrote the Narnia. He had the same experience. He came to the conclusion that he had no other choice but to believe God. But he said, he said, all right, God, fine. I believe you're real. I believe Jesus died and I believe it matters. And he said, at that moment, he said, suddenly it all became real to him. Your feelings will follow your faith. Don't worry if you haven't had a feeling just yet. You just keep believing. You just keep following. I could add another one, right? Faith following feelings. As we follow God on our faith, our feelings will follow. Our feelings are a blessing from God, but they are not the foundation on which we build our lives. And so when we talk about the feeling, lots of people worry about whether they've had the feeling or what the feeling means. But really what we're asking is, Lord, what are you speaking to us? That's what the feeling, when you get the feeling, the question you should be saying is, what is God saying to me? How do I need to respond when I get that feeling? Because also the feeling, as we've said, isn't necessarily just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's sometimes the feeling that you're walking out in the shops and you feel the Lord says, don't go that way, go this way instead. And you bump into someone who really needs, you know, you suddenly find an opportunity to help somebody. I've had that a few times. You know, or the feeling to say, you know, I really need to pray for somebody right now. And you pray for them. And then you realize that their life was really struggling at that moment. And God was prompting you to pray. God is not interested in just giving you warm, fuzzy feelings. That is not the evidence of God at work in your life. That is a blessing. Do you know, years and years ago, when I was about 7 or 8, we had a Romanian pastor stay with us. Do you remember Ilya? Right? And he brought us an orange, and he thought it was he brought us a great treat, and we couldn't understand what the big deal was. You know, this was in the days when the Romanian authorities were persecuting Christians. And he'd come over, he'd managed to escape out of Romania, and he was over here doing some preaching or something. And he told us a story, and he was saying when they were in prison, they tried to brainwash him. And that's what they do, isn't it? Often these regimes, they try and brainwash you, try and make you believe again and again and again, you know, that Jesus isn't real, that what you're believing is a load of rubbish, right? And his head was all over the place, right? He said, but I knew, even in that prison, he said, and you know, Romans chapter 8 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen. Nothing can separate us. And you know what the Holy Spirit did in that moment, he said, for me, was he made me realize. He said, I couldn't tell what day it was. I didn't know whether it was black or white, or couldn't tell. He said, but I knew in my heart that Jesus was real. And that's the feeling that God wants to really give you, is an assurance of his love. More than anything else, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive an assurance that even though I can't tell you all the reasons, I can't explain it to you, I may not have all the answers, but I know in my heart that God is real. And there's an assurance that God wants to bring us, and that is the feeling. And one of my favourite hymns says, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Let's stand, shall we? Let's pray.